In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I send you greetings from the brethren at Bethel BP Church, Melbourne. It is always a joy to be able to come to Sydney BP Church to see this like-minded church in doctrines, in faith. You have always been an encouragement to me. Let us turn to John chapter 21, verse 18 to 23. This will be the passage for our consideration this morning. John chapter 21, verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walketh whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? The Lord bless the reading of his holy and sacred word. None of us know when we are going to die. None of us know what would happen in the future. If we are enjoying good health and strength today, we may anticipate that we have a good number of years to come. If we still have our existing jobs and resources, our marriages are intact, our families are still with us, we may anticipate that maybe things would remain the way they are. But nonetheless, none of us can be 100% certain. My friend, if you know exactly when you are going to die and how you are going to die, what if you know exactly what would happen to you in the future? How would you respond to the events of life if you already know that you are going to die in your youth? Would you not be paralyzed with fear? Would you have responded any differently if you know that you still have many more years to come, because you are going to die at a very old age? But what if you are going to die a martyr's death? You're going to be persecuted because of your Christian faith all the way until you die. Would that make a difference in the way you live your life? Peter was given a very special responsibility. The Lord revealed to him about his future for a sovereign purpose that we may not understand. Jesus told Peter how his life would end, and with that amazing piece of information, Peter has the responsibility to live his life in light of what he knew. As Christians, we must be committed to live our lives according to what we know in the Holy Scriptures. The Word of God reveals to us what our lives should be, and we must be faithful to God to follow Jesus Christ, to be more and more like Him. Our entire life is about discipleship, and we must be committed to this matter of discipleship. The title of our message is, Am I a Committed Christian? This is a question that every believer would have to ask himself or herself. There are two points in our message: the test of discipleship and the focus of discipleship. Firstly, let us consider the test of discipleship. A Christian is someone who must be committed, and he or she must be committed to stand the test of discipleship. Verse 18 and 19 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Here Jesus Christ foretold Peter's death. There's a saying, God has appointed our entrances into this world. He has also appointed our exits out of this world. Our life and our deaths are in the hands of the Almighty God. He knoweth when you and I would die. And it is for a certainty that Peter would leave this world in the way Jesus has described for him. That is why Jesus says, "Verily, verily," which means truly, truly. Sometimes it is said, "Amen, amen." When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. When a person is young, he is able to fasten his own belt. He is able to go to places he wants to go. Here he speaks of a person who is able to control his own actions. But then when Peter was old, what would happen? "Thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." In other words, there will come a point of time when others would arrest Peter, bind him, and then let him to his death. There will come a point in time whereby Peter would not be able to control his actions. He will be controlled by someone else. It is a picture of someone living his life being controlled and led by another person. There will come a point in time where Peter would have to live his life not according to his own desires, but according to someone else's desire. He would not want to go to the place, but he will be led there. Some theologians believe that the phrase "stretch forth thy hands," it refers to the crucifixion. Because when the person is crucified, his hands will be stretched out and then bound to the crossbeam. According to tradition, Peter was crucified. And it was said that he was crucified upside down. Because when the persecutors were about to crucify him, Peter said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like the Lord Jesus Christ." And he was crucified upside down. Remember how Peter had denied the Lord 3 times. And then Jesus had to restore him. In the preceding verses, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know I love thee." And then Jesus commanded Peter, "Feed my sheep." But here Jesus wanted Peter to know that it is not just to profess our love for him. Our love for him will be tested. You can say how much you love God. You can say how much you want to follow Jesus Christ. But that profession of faith has to be tested to be proven that it is real, it is true. I can say how much I love my wife. But unless my love for my wife is tested, she will not know whether it is real or not. That is why trials and tribulations are meant to reveal our profession. God allows them to come into our lives to purify us, to reveal whether or not we believe Him, whether or not we love Him. After this event, Peter would live for another 30 years and then die as a martyr. Take a moment and try to comprehend the life of Peter, having been told that you would die the life of a martyr. And then you have 30 years more to live. You have to carry the cross daily. And every day of your lives, you have this thought hanging over your head. I will die as a martyr. Can you imagine if you have been told in advance that because of your faith in Jesus Christ, your head will be cut off by one of the radical extremist group? How would you live your life? Would it affect the way you live your Christian life? Would it affect the way you serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you then stop evangelizing? Not for Peter. The only way for Peter to pass the test of discipleship is to follow Jesus Christ faithfully, never to take his eyes away from him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the one who is the originator of our faith. He will finish it. And we must not take our eyes away from him. Peter must be focused on Jesus Christ. And the fact that Jesus told Peter of his impending death and then said to him, follow me. That implies to us that even at the moment of his death, Jesus Christ has not forsaken Peter. Jesus Christ is still with Peter even at the most difficult moment of his life. Even when he was crucified upside down, according to tradition, Jesus Christ is still with him. Because he said to him, follow me. In our lives, there would be victories, there would be failures, there would be rejoicing, there would be sorrows. But God is never absent from the events of our lives. God is faithful to us when we are young. Do you agree? God is faithful to us when we are old. God is faithful to us when we are successful. God is faithful to us when we fail in our endeavors. Despite all our weaknesses, He has led us, He has sustained us. He's our faithful God. He will never forsake us. So the test of discipleship is to always keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and to keep on following Him. To follow Christ is to be willing to walk away from every one or anything that will stumble us from following Him. To follow Christ is to be willing to suffer for Him. Remember, Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It is not a one-time thing. You take up the cross of suffering and that's it. You take up the cross daily. You are willing to suffer for Christ daily. That is what following Jesus Christ is all about. That is why a true believer is able to say, I will follow him. Whatever the circumstances will be, adversaries may come, persecutions may come, trials may come, troubles may come, I will still follow him. Jesus could have told Peter this piece of information about his martyrdom at the moment when he first called Peter to be fishers of men. At the beginning of the Gospels, You see how Jesus called Peter to be fisher of men. He could have told Peter at that point. He could have told Peter at the point of conversion. He could have told Peter on the Sermon on the Mount. But he did not do that. Instead, he told Peter only after he had spent an entire earthly ministry with Peter. Jesus Christ was preparing and molding Peter for this very moment. And he knows that Peter is now ready to receive this piece of information, and that was why Jesus Christ revealed to him, "You will die as a martyr." God knows everything about us, my friend. He knows what kind of burdens you and I could carry. He will not let us carry more than we could bear. He will not let us do that. The reason why we are facing trials today, it is because God allows it. And the reason why God allows the trials to come into our lives is because He knows we are ready to face these trials. And He wants to mold us, He wants to shape us into the person He wants us to be. And every day of our lives, you can rest assured our faiths will be tested. Surely it will be tested, whether it comes in the form of decisions we make, challenges we face, problems we encounter, the issues of life we have to deal with every day. We have to fight a good fight of faith. And that is what it means to pass this test of discipleship. The fact that Peter followed Christ despite knowing that there would be a great difficulty, he would die a martyr's death, speaks of his true faith in Christ, speaks of his true love for Jesus Christ. So when he said, "Lord, you know how much I love thee," three times, he truly meant every word he said. You and I probably have said, "Lord Jesus, I love thee," so many times. Do we really mean what we say? All it takes is a trial to come into our lives, and it will reveal the true spiritual condition of our hearts. Can we pass the test of discipleship or not? It takes a trial to reveal our true spiritual condition. The next thing we want to look at is the focus of discipleship. A committed Christian is someone who is focused on discipleship. When Jesus says, "Follow me," it is a personal commitment to follow him. It is not a commitment to look at others. It is not a commitment that is based on others. If others follow Christ, I will follow Christ. If my parents follow Christ, I will follow Christ. If my children go to church, I go to church. If people serve God, I will serve God. That is not true discipleship. True discipleship is a personal commitment to be focused on following Jesus Christ. It is you, yourself, not based on the people around you. At best, they may encourage you. So as Peter and the Lord Jesus were speaking, they were walking. So you can fathom the scenario as they were walking. And then verse 20 and 21, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" This is a reference to the disciple John. How do we know? If you read John chapter 13 verse 23, it tells us that the one who leaned on Jesus' breast at supper and asked Jesus, "Who is the person who will betray thee?" is the one whom Jesus loved. And then you subtract from all the other disciples in the Gospel of John, you will have the Apostle John. The Apostle John is the person known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So Peter, seeing him, says to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" So here Peter fully understood that he would die the death of a martyr, and he asked Jesus Christ about the apostle or the disciple John. What about him? If I were to die the death of a martyr, what about John? So he turned and asked Jesus Christ. Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." I told you about your life, and you ask me about his life. Why are you bothered about his life when you ought to be bothered about your life? What is it to you if I allow him to tarry when I come? Our God wants us to focus on our walk with him, not to stray our eyes away and look at how others are walking and be affected. We consider our own spiritual walk with him. It is a personal commitment to be focused on following Jesus Christ. And every one of us one day will stand before Christ, whether we are faithful or we are not. You are either a good ambassador for him or you are not. You are either a committed believer or you are not. Some of us, he will say, "Come, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." Others are just paying lip services. In reality, they do not believe God in their hearts. They can say, "I love thee, trials come." They will betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are three valuable lessons we can learn from Jesus' answer to Peter. Firstly, we need to understand that whatever happens to us is determined by God. Nothing happens by chance nor coincidence. Everything is determined by the Almighty God. Everything works according to the providence of God, according to his wise counsel. Our Lord Jesus, he says, "If I will that he tarry till I come." In other words, if it is my will that he remains until I return. Whose will is it that determines Peter's martyrdom? It is the Lord's will, right? Whose will is it that determines the disciple John will live to a ripe old age? It is the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' will is God's will because Jesus Christ is God. And Jesus Christ said, "If it is my will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you?" It is God's will that Peter would die a martyr's death. It is God's will that the disciple John would live and die a natural death in the island of Patmos. Every one of us in this room, we live our lives according to the will of God. It is God's will that today we have the transfers of membership. It is God's will today we have baptism. It is today that we meet face to face, not by chance. It is by God's appointment. It is God's will. So whatever happens to us is determined by God. The years of our lives, determined by God. The outcomes of the events in our lives, determined by God. Everything is determined by God. Now we may not understand everything. We do not pretend to understand everything. I do not understand why a person would suffer cancer and then another person would enjoy good health and strength all the days of his life. I do not understand why a person would die at a young age while another person would live up to an old age. Do you understand? We may not understand, but we do understand one thing. It is determined by the will of God. Nothing works outside His sovereign purpose. Everything is in His control. The earlier we know this truth, the better it is for us. Then we can say like the Apostle Paul, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8 verse 28. Then we will understand that everything is according to God's sovereign purpose. It's all determined by God. If it is my will that He tarry. Secondly, we need to focus on what God truly meant and not be confused by what He did not mean. Let me explain. Look at verse 23. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. It is interesting how the conversation would spread so quickly, especially a misconception. It spread so quickly amongst the brethren when Jesus Christ says, if I tarry, if I allow Him to tarry till I return, what is there to thee? Immediately, the brethren, they concluded that that disciple, John, would not die. He would remain until Jesus Christ returned. But that was not what Jesus said. Because verse 23, Jesus explained, yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is there to thee? In other words, what Jesus was trying to say is this. If it is my will that he remains until I come, what is there to you? How does that affect you? How does that affect your spiritual walk with me? You follow me and stop looking at others. Why you look at John instead of looking at your own life? You see, many a times people would easily misinterpret what you say and miss the point. That's why we always urge our people to listen very carefully what people say and do not misinterpret what they say. How much more the Word of God? Week after week we hear the message and then we walk away. Do we misinterpret what the Word of God says? God forbid. It is very frustrating when the person you are ministering to cannot understand what you are saying because you think he understands what you are saying, but in reality, he does not understand what you are saying. We encounter this problem all the time, especially with our children, right? Our child says to us, Dad, can I have a handphone? Because all my friends have handphones. And you say to your child, it is not time yet. You cannot have a handphone. Then your child says, fine, you don't want me to have friends. Parents get that all the time. When did I ever say, I do not want you to have friends? Maybe the member will say to the pastor, Pastor, can we have a combined gospel rally with the other church at the end of the street? The pastor knew that that was a charismatic church and he says, no, we cannot have a combined gospel rally. And then the member says, fine, pastor is not interested in evangelism. Did I say anything about evangelism? No. People often would take your word, misinterpret what you say, and that is the danger of it all. How much more when we listen to the Word of God and then we interpret the Word of God according to our whims and fancies, according to how we want to live our lives, not according to the commandments of God. We obey when it's convenient, not convenient, we chuck it away. We must never do that to the Word of God. Peter should have listened very carefully to what Jesus Christ is telling him. instead of focusing on others misinterpreting what Jesus has said. Thirdly, we need to focus on what is God's will for ourselves and understand that what is God's will for others is not our concern. Not that we do not care about one another, not that we do not care about the brothers and sisters in the church, but we are not busybodies. Parents, have you ever asked your child to do something? And then when you ask that child to do something, all of a sudden that child turns to you and say, "What about the other siblings? What about him? What about her?" You are asking him to do something, and all of a sudden he is very concerned about his siblings. His siblings came into the picture. What has it got to do with the siblings? You are telling him what to do. Peter has just been told what kind of a future, what kind of a death he will be facing. Instead of focusing on his own life, he went to take a look at John. What about John? What about his situation? That was why Jesus had to teach Peter, "Whatever I had determined for John, what is that to you? Whatever it is my will for John, how does that affect you?" In our common language, probably it will mean something like, "It is not your business. It is God's prerogative." How can we question God about his will for someone else when we do not concentrate on our will or his will for us? We ought to be focusing on this discipleship. God says, "Follow me." We follow him faithfully. You know, Peter seemed to have a problem with comparison. If you study the life of Peter, you would know. He often compares himself with the others. There was a time when he said to Jesus Christ, "Though all of them will forsake thee, I will not forsake thee." So he's good. And here, he says, "What about John?" He has this problem with comparison. Do you have a problem with comparison? Surely you have. Surely I have too. We all seem to have the same problem as Peter. We like to compare ourselves among ourselves. We do that all the time. You know, we compare our situation with others. We compare our services with others. Why are they doing so little? I'm doing so much. Why must I do when others are not doing? Why must I attend when others are not attending? In my church, sometimes I need help. I would ask people to offer their services. And then I would approach a brother in Christ, and I would say to him, "Can you serve in this area?" Most, if not all the time, the response would go something like this: "What about James? What about John? How about so and so? Do you ask so and so?" I feel like telling the person, if I wanted to ask so and so, I would have asked the person, but I'm asking you. And I cannot understand how his decision is going to affect your decision in serving Jesus Christ. Do you see that? How is a person's decision is going to affect your decision in following Jesus Christ? But we do that all the time. And this comparison mentality is not isolated in the service of God. It actually encompasses every aspect of our lives. If you take a look at our lives, we will compare. And then we will say, "Why is he getting the job and I'm not getting? Why is she having a boyfriend and I don't have a boyfriend? Why are they getting married while I'm still a single? Why is his job, his house, his car better than mine?" We compare all the time. Then we start to say it is unfair. And ultimately we murmur against God. May the Lord forgive us. This is our sinful nature. This is our problem, just like Peter. What about him? I'm saying this, not just members have this problem, preachers have this problem too. Often, preachers will struggle in the ministry, and then they look at other preachers who do not face the same kind of problems, and then they will murmur and complain, why that preacher seems to be free from struggles while I have to struggle so much? Now, I'd like all of us to think for a moment. Does it make you feel better to know that another person is in the same shoe as you are in, suffering? Does it make you feel better to know that someone else is suffering just like you are suffering? Obviously, you'll say, no. Then why do we behave as such? We behave as if we want others to be in the same shoes as we are in, suffering like as we are. That cannot be. So let us not complain about ministries as pastors, preachers, why my church is so small, why my ministry is so small. We have to realize that we are not who they are. They may have unique, special abilities that we do not have. God has blessed them. That is their portion. God has not given to us this portion. We do not try to claim it. Let's humble ourselves. Every individual is created in the image of God, and our portions from God are all different. Everyone in this room, our portions are different. I remember how God has used the testimony of the British famous preacher Charles Spurgeon. Most of us in this room would know Charles Spurgeon, sometimes commonly known as the Prince of Preachers. But most of us would not know his father. His father's name is John Spurgeon. He would have lived in obscurity all the days of his life, except the fact that he has a famous son named Charles Spurgeon. Both of them were equally godly, committed believers, preachers, faithful. But God used Charles Spurgeon differently from how he used John Spurgeon. But it was said that the famous son, Charles Spurgeon, he lived only up to the age of 57, and he died. But the otherwise obscure father lived up to the age of 90. Why? We do not understand. God could be teaching us, learn all you can from Charles Spurgeon, but I want to use you not as Charles Spurgeon, but as John Spurgeon. You will live your life in obscurity. Nobody may even know who you are. What is that to thee? It is the will of God. It is determined by the Almighty God. Who are we to complain? So all of us, we need to be focused on following Christ. Look inward into our hearts. Do not look outward and look at somebody else. Be focused in our walk with Jesus Christ. No, it does not make any good to Peter to know that John will languish for years in the island of Patmos. It would do him no good. It would do him no good to know that John would still be remaining on the face of this earth while the other 11 apostles will all be taken home. It would not be good for John to know that all of them have gone home to be in heaven, to be with Christ, while I still have to press on in the island of Patmos. You know, if it is beneficial for us, God will surely let us know. If it is beneficial for the disciples, God will surely let the disciples know. But some of these things are never good for us to know. And yet we are so eager to know, we want to live our lives looking at others. And that becomes our problem. Two times Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." And then, "Follow thou me." It's always a personal commitment, not based on John, not based on the other disciples, based on yourself. You follow me. Do not be distracted, but be focused on discipleship. Be focused on following Jesus Christ, my friend. Whether others are following Christ or not, one day your parents may not come to church. One day your children may not come to church. Today we see families coming to church in one car. The father drives, so convenient. The children hops in. We all attend church services as a family. But one day the father says, "I'm not going to attend church anymore." Will your coming to church be based on your father? Will it be based on your mother? Will it be based on your children? Jesus says, "No man who put his hand on the plow and then looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God." Do you know why it is not good for a man to put his hand and then looketh back? Because the moment he put his hand on the plow and he looks back, the plow will go off the line. It will go all over the shop. It will never be fit for the kingdom of God. God wants us to follow him, putting our hands, looking forward unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, and faithfully take that step all the way until Jesus calls us home. Whether they are faithful or not, one day they have to stand before God, just as you and I have to stand before God. We better be faithful. Are you a committed Christian? Are you able to answer this question with this full assurance in your heart that I am a committed Christian because I stand to pass this test of discipleship? I will pass this test of discipleship regardless of whatever trials that will come into my life, whatever tribulation. I won't look left, I won't look right, I just look to Jesus Christ. I will be focused. Are you a person who is focused on discipleship? Do you understand that everything that happened in your life is determined by God? Nothing happened by chance nor coincidence. Can you acknowledge that? Or will you keep on comparing with what God is doing in another person's life? Stop doing that. What is that to thee? Jesus said, "Follow me, follow thou me." Very personal to each and every individual here. Jesus says the same thing, "Follow me." You follow me. My friend, God has revealed to Peter what manner of life he would have to live, what kind of death he would have to face. It will be martyrdom. His hands will be stretched forth. He will be led to a place he did not want to go. Others will gird him and bring him there. Is Peter faithful? If you read 1 and 2 Peter, you will realize he was faithful. Come fiery trials, he says, he will be faithful. Not because of his strength, because of the author and the finisher of our faith. Remember, Jesus says, "Follow me." Do you think Jesus does not know the trials ahead of you? Do you think Jesus does not know that you will lose your job because of persecution? Do you think Jesus does not know that When you stand for righteousness, you'll be put into prison. He knows. He says, follow me. He will be with you, even in the darkest moment. So God has revealed to Peter, but do you realize that God has also revealed to us about our future? If you are a believer today, if you draw your last breath and you close your eyes, and that is the end of your days on this earth, where would you be? The Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You will be with Him if you are a true believer. If Jesus were to return and you are still alive, what will happen to you? Jesus says, you will be caught up in the clouds to meet Him. He will come for you. And then one day you would be ruling on this earth for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And then He will destroy this earth and the heavens because they were tainted with sin. And He will create the new heavens, the new earth, where you and I will dwell forever and ever. That will be our future. So with that piece of information you have, just as Peter has that piece of information, we need to ask ourselves, how have we been living our lives? How have you been living your lives? Knowing that when you draw your last breath, you will see Christ face to face. So you have another 20 years. How would you live these 20 years? Will you continue in your habitual sins? Or will you glorify God? When Jesus comes in the cloud, He comes in His glory, you will be raptured with Him. That will be a most amazing experience. One pastor asked one of his members, which would you prefer, to die, be buried, and then be with Christ, and then when He comes, your body will be raised from the grave, then to be united with your soul in a glorified body? Or would you want to be raptured to meet Jesus Christ in the air? Which one would you choose? I believe every one of us here will be thinking, I will want the rapture. Most of us will say, I want the rapture. But this amazing believer, he says, I will want to die and be buried, because I want to experience the power of the resurrection. A very interesting perspective, right? If you are a true believer, you know that will happen to you. You will experience the power of the resurrection. How have we lived our lives knowing all this blessed truth? May the Lord forgive us if we have not passed the test of discipleship. We have not been focused on discipleship. We have not been following Jesus Christ. A word to all those who are unbelievers here this morning. If you are still an unbeliever lingering outside the kingdom of God, take heed. There's no salvation outside Jesus Christ. No one can save you except Jesus saves. It takes the only begotten Son to come into this world, to die on the cross, to shed His precious blood, to wash away your sins. If you say, if God is good, He will forgive me of all my sins, regardless of whether I believe Jesus Christ or not. My friend, you take a moment and think. If the Australian government were to tell all the prisoners in Australia, I will pardon you, never mind your crimes, whether it be rape, whether it be murder, whether it be theft, I will forgive you, I will pardon you. You just have to be sorry about it. You just apologize, out you go. What will you say? Surely you will say, what about justice? What about righteousness? What about holiness, right? The only way for God to reconcile His righteousness justice, holiness, and His love is to send His only begotten Son. That is why He is a loving God, yet He is a righteous judge. And if you deny this righteous judge, you have no salvation. And then you draw your last breath. Eternal hell will be your home forever and ever. A million upon a million years, you will be burning in the lake of fire. You will not be ruling with Jesus Christ on the face of this earth for 1,000 years. For the 1,000 years, you will be in the bottomless pit. That will be a very sad scenario for you. I pray that you will not reject Him. If you are still an unbeliever, turn to Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, today. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, there were two thieves. One of them said to Jesus, "If you are the Messiah, save yourself, save us as well." The other thief looked at Jesus Christ, or rebuked the other one and said, "Don't you fear God now that you are dying?" And then said to Jesus, "Remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom." Jesus says to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Him that cometh to Jesus Christ, He will in no wise cast out. No matter what your sins may be, men may not know, all your wicked deeds, all your evil thoughts, all your hidden agendas, the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away. Turn to Him today, and salvation will be given to you by the grace and mercies of God. Am I a committed Christian? I pray that I will be able to answer, "Yes, I am, Lord, by Thy grace and Thy mercy." And you too will be able to say, "Yes, I am, by the grace and mercy of God." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give Thee thanks for this passage that we have considered this morning. Indeed, oftentimes we look around us and not on our own path that we ought to take with Thee. Instead of considering our spiritual walk with Thee, we look left and right, and we are discouraged and disappointed. Howbeit, Thou hast taught us in Thy word that we ought to look to Thee, as we must follow our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, be gracious and be merciful. Forgive us if we have not been faithful to follow Thee. Forgive us if we have not been committed Christians. Today, Thou hast taught us through the life of Peter that we ought to pass this test of discipleship. We ought to also be focused on discipleship, following the author and the finisher of our faith. May the Spirit of God continue to do Thy mighty work in our lives. Also be gracious to those who are unbelievers. May Thou convict their hearts of their sins, that they will know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may come to believe in Him and have salvation so rich and free. We give Thee thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.